Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Dr. James Farmer, and I'm going to be with you talking about parenting types and setting limits. I'm here to give you some tools on how to overcome challenges and struggles and issues that you might have with your teenager. And I know in a lot of families today, there's always, a couple of children and one teenager who stands out, who sometimes can be very rebellious, aggressive, and so forth. So this show is designed to be useful and share techniques with you to overcome some of these issues. Now, I'm a life and a parent, and so this is not coming from some book on the shelf. This is coming through life experiences, and I've worked with a lot of families. So let's get right into it. Let me first give you a little bit more information about how to reach me. You can contact me at James.Farmer@att.net. That's James.Farmer@att.net. My website would be www.JaffaGroup.com. www.Jaffa, spelling of Jaffa is J-A-F-A, group.com. And for those of you who may be old school and just want to call and talk with me briefly, my number is 817-721-8074. I'll say it again, 817-721-8074. So let's kind of jump into this. A lot of this is coming from a book I read. It's the first chapter of a book that I call Positive Influence, and it's how to deal with teenage aggression. And in that first chapter, I talk about the 10 parenting types, and then I ended by sharing with you how to set limits to teenagers who's out of control. But let's first begin at the beginning, and that is, and I'll make this statement, don't be a porcupine when your teenager reaches out to talk to you or has an attitude who's very nasty and ugly. A porcupine, if you remember, is when you touch a porcupine, it has so many needles that anyone touching it will get stuck. And so sometimes parents are like that in their attitude, for example. They have a frown on their face or they have a very ugly attitude around their teenagers and other children. And so have some self-awareness that you're not on that level where you're not approachable for your kids. It's very important that you put yourself in that role of being one who's an advisor. You're kind of like a guidance counselor. You're the psychologist. You're the spiritual healer. You wear several different hats in the family with your children. So please don't forget that a major role is to move your kids through different types of life experiences and somehow teach them life lessons as you're going through this particular journey. Now, your attitude toward your teenagers, again, is extremely important. There's a little story I share, and just briefly, that some parents have an expression on their face as though they had just drank a glass of vinegar and water. And you can imagine what a parent's face would look like after drinking a tall glass of vinegary water. And this is how they kind of go through life, just, you know, their feelings and emotions are on their cuff. You can see it in their face. So learn how to smile. Learn how to smile even when you got challenges and troubles and you're in a storm. Learn how to smile around your kids, because what happens is your kids will develop and have that same kind of frown and negative expression on their face. So let's get into the classical parent types. Let's start first with the doormat type of parent. And this is a parent who is pretty well respected in the community, pretty adept in the business world. You'll find them on committees. You'll find them involved very much in the community. They're what I would call a good citizen, successful, hardworking, and intelligent. Some of them end up as man or woman of the year. But this parent has one thing. For some reason, when it comes to confronting their teenager or their children, the children walk right over them. The children have no respect in them. I remember a case where the child actually controlled the parent. And so, and you'll find this person basically with just no backbone in directing their children, giving them structure, or providing structure to them. They just basically are just easy to walk over. So check yourself out in that situation, that you're not one of those parents who are easily walked upon and your kids don't respect them. Kids treat you the way you allow them to treat you. If you allow them to disrespect you, they will disrespect you. They're always got a test going on for the parent, and they know the buttons to push, and they really know how to push your emotional buttons. The next parent is what I call the fix-it repairman. This is the person who, you know, they can't really work with their teen, and so they want to send them to the psychiatrist, the psychologist, the counselor, the social worker, the school counselor. They just want you to fix them. Let me share this with you. Back in the early day when I was just starting out counseling, I remember a parent called me, made an appointment, and brought her teen by, and she dropped the teenager off and said, "How long will it take you to work with him?" I said, "About an hour." She said, "Well, I need to run to the mall now, come back, and hopefully he'll be a different kid." Folks, it doesn't work like that. It's a process you have to go through. There's no one shot like you do with your car, take it in, you got a flat tire, you get it fixed, and then you're rolling out in about 30, 40 minutes. It's not like that with children. It takes time to work with them. So if you're one of those parents who's a fix-it repairman, it's not going to work. You're going to have to put the time in. And buying them a lot of gifts and things like that and sending them off to different camps, that's fine. But that's not putting in the quality time. This, you know, when I say quality time, I'm talking about sitting around, talking with their likes, their dislikes, looking at their worldview, you know, asking questions, kind of basically getting on their level to find out what's going on in their world. The next parent type is the walking wounded. And it is what it says, walking wounded. This parent basically is bleeding all over everybody, friends, family members, sharing just how bad their child is or their teenager is. And so they're just basically confiding their innermost secrets and fears to anyone who will listen. They approach the family and friends and helpers looking for sympathy. And they just bleed all over everyone, and they don't plan on changing. They just like to tell the story. You know, when it comes down to some actions, you're not going to see a whole lot of action with this parent. Just they like to tell the story how bad this kid is and how horrible this is happening to them, and so they want you to understand. So be aware of the walking wounded parent who will not take your advice on how to improve the child's behavior. They just want you to listen. Then we have the junior psychologist. And this is a parent who usually highly educated. They're very dominant in the child's life. And what they do is spend a lot of their time just reading James Dobson's book. I believe he wrote a book on how to deal with tough kids. And anything that's out there is popular, they would have read this book. I remember a lady years ago, she was a specialist in certain areas of behavior. I mean, she had read every book. She had seen the videos and attended the workshops. And so she operated as a junior psychologist with her own teenage girl. The problem is that the teenage girl went on and just acted out, ran away, and eventually fell into prostitution. So it didn't work. And so sometimes you do have to rely on a professional who's not so emotionally close to the situation, but can be very objective and has gone through years of training to work with these kind of situations. Most parents have not been through any training to work with their own kids, you know. So be aware of that type of parent. Then you have parents, I'm sure we have all seen this type of parent, the blamer. They're kind of a natural critic with a narrow point of view, and they can almost rationalize anything. They basically blame everyone for their child's behavior except for themselves. They will blame the school teacher. They will blame their spouse. They will blame their friends. And it goes on and on and on. Another story here. I remember I worked in an alternative school once, and the parents were convinced that the problem was within the school, not in their parenting method and not in the child, but in the school. And I remember dad and mom would sit across the streets with binoculars and actually try to look into the school building to see if there was any inappropriate behaviors going on between the teacher and their son. They were definitely into blaming. And then you have those parents who will say, you know, my child acts okay at home. It's only when they go to this school that they have problems, because you're always calling me about problems, but they're the perfect child at home. They do their chores and they're home for dinner. But all you people do in the school is just complain. And so you have these parents who are not readily acceptable of responsible behavior. They just basically want to blame because they don't want to be found at fault of this child acting up with a lot of misconduct or misbehavior. Then you have the religious believer. Basically, the Bible is their only instructional material that they consult with for child-rearing advice. They believe in using the switch, the belt, and so forth because it's written in the Bible. And physical punishment, according to them, is acceptable behavior. But as many of you know, in today's society, that's basically been kind of outlawed, the type of physical behavior that was used, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. So be very careful there. I've seen parents who basically beat their kids over the head with the Bible, verbally and emotionally, and sometimes will go into it physically. But on the other hand, I've seen kids, I remember when I was growing up and my father was becoming a minister in those days, and when we would act up, my father would, he always liked to have a talk with us before we got it, that spanking. And he'd say, well, what caused you to do this? to be so bad and so forth. And we would every time say, Daddy, the devil made us do it. And his response was, well, we're not going to let the devil have this kind of control over you. We're going to just beat the devil out of you. And that's the way it usually ended. So be very careful. And I think it's smart when a parent takes time to learn different techniques and strategies for working with their kids. Some of the things that were used 30, 40, 50 years ago, you can't use it today. But there's a lot of good stuff that's out there. You got to get kids' attention. You got to get their attention. If you're going to use the Bible, you have to get your kids to buy into the Bible's principles. If they don't buy into it, they're going to have a difficult time trying to follow or even understand where you're coming from. But when they know that you have a Christian home and that you follow those principles, you walk it, you talk it, they know basically when they get off structure. They know. So just be mindful of yourself when you're working with kids. You can't always beat them. Years ago they called that the belt therapy. They said that the parents got more of a release than the kids, you know, from acting up. And so try to refrain from beating your kids. Try to be able to sit down and talk with them. Find things that they enjoy doing. And if they don't want to get on course, take those things away from them. After a while, you know, you take enough things away from them, their video games and bicycles and all the kind of things that young folks like, they're going to feel the pinch there. They're going to feel it, you know. Without physical hitting them, they're going to feel that, hey, I need to straighten up. As I used to tell my sons, there's two ways you can go. You can go the easy way or the hard way. You tell me which way you want to go. Of course, they always like the easy way. But if you want to stay on the easy way, you have to give me the kind of behavior that I want to see. When I give you chores, you do chores. You know, when I ask you to be home at a certain time, you come home at a certain time. And so my kids were able to understand that. Now let's go into the next. We're going to have a few more parents. The embarrassed parent. This is the parent who is getting bad press, you know, from the kids acting up. There's some kids that make the front page of the newspaper, all over the magazines and so forth, for acting up. I remember when I was in Columbus, Ohio, there was a lady who physically and harshly spanked her child. And at that time, she was in training to become, you know, quote, she had a very nice title that she was training to become. They had something to do with children. And someone found out that she had beaten the child. And would you know, before the week was out, she was on the front page of that newspaper. And people were reading it, and they couldn't believe it, you know. So, yeah, you know, no parent wants bad press coming for their kids. A lot of times people will look at kids and say, well, you've heard them say, these are nice kids here, you know. You must have a good mom, a good dad. But there are kids sometimes when people look at them, it's like they don't even have a family, you know, or who's in charge of the family, because they don't seem to be the type of kid that's following any structure. And where does structure come from? It comes from our parents teaching us about structure, how to abide structure, and so forth. So nobody really wants to feel bad press on them coming from their child, and the child is making news in the community, negative news and so forth. Again, my father was an evangelist, and we were some of the worst kids around. And I remember my brother was out there making the front page of the newspaper with a lot of negative press, and here's my father trying to, you know, prepare his sermons and so forth. So, yeah, I understand that. And then lastly, I want to mention the step-parent. We have some parents who are in a role where they're, with, they're in a blended family situation. That can be really a tough struggle. It's hard sometimes to keep things up on the board because there's a lot going on there. I'm reminded of a situation where this lady married a gentleman. He had five children. And she had no kids. The lady who married him, she had never been married before. and his wife had become deceased. And so she took on that responsibility. And, of course, she had some ideas on how to structure the family and to get the girls to do what they want to do. And I think there was 5 girls in that family. But the girls didn't go along with that because they thought, you know, well, they had dad eating out the palm of their hand, and they could pretty much get away with whatever they wanted to get with. So here's someone with lax parenting skills versus someone who just wanted to get everything structured in the family. Well, you can guess that the marriage didn't last for 2 years, and she had to leave. And that's a reality that sometimes when someone steps into the family, especially if it's a male stepping in, they want to take on the head role. They want to be in charge, but the kids aren't hearing it. And so you get into that. I've always suggested parents that in the blended family situation, you need to get your parenting skills down. They need to coordinate. You need to sit down and say, hey, this is what we accept in our family. This is what we don't accept. You have to talk to kids because kids enjoy dividing the parents and having them squabbling while they're trying to get their way. So parents have to pull together and actually go through what's acceptable in their family. For example, if dad lays out the law, sometimes he may not want the kids going back trying to override it by them going to mom, and mom somehow not knowing the whole situation overrides it. See, that creates conflict and so forth. I do believe in what I call a family policy hour. That's when parents on Fridays sit down together and they talk about what's on their mind. They talk about the good things and the bad things. That kind of brings everybody together. At least, I'll say, twice a month, every family should be doing that. That would work beautifully with a blended family. If you just talk, not assume, but just talk and talk and talk. Communication is probably the best foundation that you can have in a blended situation. And so those are the classical parent types that I want to introduce to you and select a few of them. You might be 2 or 3 of those. And then whatever kind of parent type you think you are, if I were to interview your children, they probably would say either be in agreement with you or disagreement. So it's important that you identify your parenting type. So I next want to get into setting limits. Thing is, you do want to set limits. You don't want to keep an open-door policy where your kids can come and go as they please, talk to you any kind of way. And unfortunately, a lot of that's going on today. Kids have learned to be very disrespectful with their parents because they know they have a lot of power behind them and systems and organizations that will help and assist them in any kind of way they need help when it comes to parenting. I know kids who have told their parents, if you even think about that belt or think about getting tough or rough with me, I'll call the police. And they have done it. I've seen parents who have been placed in jail for just disciplining their child. And so a lot of things are just out of control. But I think as a parent, you need to set limits on, for example, the curfew time, the fact that chores will be done in your home, that the right attitude must be displayed. You want your children to be positive thinking. You want them to have an open mind towards certain things and a closed mind towards others, you know, things that could affect them later in life. And so you decide as a parent what kind of rules you want there. If you don't have any rules, that's how kids are going to operate. You know, I tell parents who once in a while say to me, well, we try to go to church once a year. Well, if you're doing that once a year, don't expect your kid to be all excited about going to church on a regular basis when they're accustomed to once a year. This is something they need to be, it needs to be instilled in them that you go every week if it's possible and that there's things that you can do at home, have Bible reading right there in your home and so forth. What kids see, they tend to do. What they hear, they tend to do. So you are a constant role model for your own children when you're having happy times and when you're having depressing times. Kids are there to observe and say, well, this is the way you're supposed to handle things. Another thing I want to mention is catching your children being good. That doesn't happen very much. You might want to sometimes just surprise your own kids by saying, Billy, come over here. I understand that you received an A, and I am so proud of you. That really makes me feel good. We're going to go out on the weekend, and we're going to celebrate this. What would you like to do that would fall in line with a great celebration for just getting so many A's on your report card? Catching a child being good or telling them, oh, you're dressed real snazzy today. You really look great, you know. Or there's many, many, many things that you can catch your children good at. Kids are so accustomed to being told that they haven't done this correctly, they haven't done that correctly, and this hasn't been done right. And so catch your children good when you can. I can assure you that they will remember those times. Three young ladies I was working with last week turned some poor grades around and actually came out with A's and B's, and I mean their mother took them out to a fancy hotel and with swimming pools, and they ate out, they stayed for the weekend, and that's all those girls could talk about is how they got rewarded for doing so well in school. Kids remember when you reward them. Another thing I'd like to mention is provide your children with a structured lifestyle. There are a lot of kids who just don't have any structure in the home. I tend to believe that when there's structure in the home, this is just another way of showing kids how much you love them. But let's go even further than that. When you can structure them in the home, you're teaching them how to become responsible young people, responsible adults, how to be appropriate, how to problem solve. There's a whole lot of skills that come along with teaching your kids structure, providing structure in their lives, and being consistent with that structure. You have to always remember that you don't want to schedule activities that might be boring to kids. You want to keep them smiling, happy, trying to figure out what's coming, what's next. All that keeps their attention. If it's something boring, those things that as a child we did that was just boring, but and I don't remember them, but they were boring. But the things that were fun, like going to the baseball game or going out on a picnic, going hunting and fishing, I remember all those things. And another thing I want to mention, which is the last one, is try to avoid mixed messages. Say what you mean what you say. Be direct, assertive, control the tone of your voice. At least have a semi-smile on your face when you're talking with them. You don't always have to be mad when you're talking with your kids. But let them know you mean business. You expect them to follow through with what they're, you know, you've asked them to do. And I think when you can do that, that's teaching them, you know, you're a responsible person. You are an adult. You're in charge of teaching and training them. And you're going to do the best you can by giving them the right kind of information, by communicating directly what it is you want them to do. And their job is to listen and to follow through, because you're trying to get them guidance to adulthood, where they can eventually turn around and have a family and so forth. Well, I hope that, you know, some of the things that I have shared here will be helpful to those of you who are listening, to the show. And that was only chapter one of this particular book that will be coming out. I think it will be out in May. I'll be talking more about it, so I hope that it will be of some help to you. Thank you very much. Tanisha.